Yeah, this week's edition, Mr. Relevant, is presented by our friends at Door County Distillery. Locally produced, handcrafted, award-winning spirits made locally in beautiful Door County. Whiskeys, gins, rums, brandies for your old fashions, vodkas, including the cherry vodka made, infused with Door County cherries. They've got everything you need to make your summer wonderful. End your summer on a high note, whether you're heading up north, hanging out on the patio, grilling something out. You need to mix up a cocktail. You should mix it up with Door County Distillery. Check out their website, DoorCountyDistillery.com. Find the retailer nearest you, as well as a huge list of their unique cocktail recipes. That's DoorCountyDistillery.com. Oh, yeah, away we go on this week's edition. Mr. Relevant, Alex Stroph, Joshy DiMaggio, Will Summers hanging out with you from the Gruber Law Offices. One Call, That's All Studios in downtown Milwaukee. And it's time to sound the alarms, I think. It's time to sound the alarms. I am ready to declare that I am officially a little bit worried about the Milwaukee Brewers. An 11-2 loss last night to the San Diego Padres. It is a series loss for the third straight season in San Diego. As they have just been getting mollywopped the last two nights in San Diego against the Padres. This is, they're in a troublesome position. And we're only a week and a half removed from the trade deadline, a period where teams that believe they are contenders start pushing chips in the middle of the table to just get maybe a little bit better, or at least to push them over the top. And when I think back to a week and a half ago, and when we were approaching the trade deadline, us as Brewers fans, we're saying, yeah, they could use a really good starting pitcher. They could maybe use some relief pitching. And they could certainly use a bat if they land the right guy. And, well, since the trade deadline, we've seen all three of those get exposed one way or another. Whether it be starting pitching. How about last night with Kyle Harrison, who I think I've been saying for a couple weeks I'm worried about. He comes off the IL last week, has a tremendous performance, 10 strikeout performance. And then kind of reverts back to what he's been since the beginning of June last night. Four and two-thirds innings pitch, 10 hits, 8 runs, only 3 strikeouts, allowed as many home runs, 3 home runs, in the 11-2 loss to the Padres last night. So Kyle Harrison was probably, if we're being honest with ourselves, was mostly just a blip in the radar with a really good start to the season. On June 2nd, at a 1.57 ERA. It is August 12th. He's only pitched 8 games since. It's now a 3.47 ERA. So he's just gone completely downhill in the 8 games since June 2nd. It all started with that weird Athletics game in Vegas. He's not the guy we hoped he would be. I think.
We just got to stop you there. The underlying numbers are supportive of him still being a good pitcher. He struggled with injury issues. He's coming back from it. The ripcord.
But the velo last night was so down.
If
he's still hurt, that's another. But then don't have him.
He may still be hurt. And he maybe still be working back from being hurt in the off time.
But then you can't expect him to be ready to go in a month.
Well.
Right? Like, if you're gearing up for a deep playoff run, which we all hope the Brewers can do again, right? Last year was an NLCS performance. They get swept by the Dodgers. But at least they're one of the last four teams in the dance. I don't think right now we're in a position where you look at Kyle Harrison and you go, I'm super confident that's our number two or our number three guy in a rotation. I just think that's where we're at with him, which is unfortunate because he did have a really good start and he's still young. Today, ironically, is his 25th birthday, right? So maybe the best is still in front of Kyle Harrison, but I don't know if that's the case for the 2026 season. The other piece of why I'm worried, Josh, it has less to do with the pitching.
I just also want to stop you. Were you under the impression when he was pitching really well that as a Brewers fan, you'd go into the postseason with super confident in him in the rotation at all? Because I wouldn't be as much of a Kyle Harrison believer as I am. A guy who bursts onto the scene, has very little major league experience, and then gets thrown into a playoff game against the Dodgers, I'd be holding my butt.
Well, holding your, are you looking for breath? I think I'd rather you hold your
breath. You hold your butt.
Okay. Hang on to your seat, maybe?
Your butt.
Okay. I'm not spending more time on that.
We've done idiom on the show, by the way.
Well, last year, I think the guy was Quinn Priester, right? And I don't remember exactly. I don't think he was great in the postseason, but I don't think he got shelled by any means, right? Quinn Priester was the kind of out-of-nowhere surprise that we've been used to over the course of the last few years with the Brewers, specifically in terms
of
starting pitchers.
That's a Jurassic Park reference, by the way. Hold on to your butts.
Okay. Got it. I would say with Kyle Harrison, I'm still being patient because, like I said, he turns 25 today. I think his best days are probably still in front of him, but I don't think at this point at all you should count on him as your number two guy in the postseason, which is what I think we were doing in May. and maybe even into June. You were like, oh my goodness, this guy should be an all-star. We were saying this guy was an all-star.
I don't think the Brewers' pursuit of Turek Skubal had anything to do with not having what they previously had in terms of belief. I think the Brewers have known all along that a pitching staff that would rely on some version of what they had prior to adding Dustin May was not going to be sufficient come playoff time. And that includes Logan Henderson, who I think you can be even higher on the future prospects of, but he's also extremely young, extremely inexperienced.
The next guy I was going to bring up.
Right. I'm still not as good as the Miz is. I'm not 100% convinced that every time he goes out in a playoff game, we're going to get the best version of Miz.
We'll cross that bridge when we get there, but he's the Cy Young Award winner. And I hate to sit here and say I am worried about this team in the postseason when you have the Cy Young Award winner on your roster. But that's not even the biggest problem with the Brewers
right
now.
They can't hit a damn softball.
The offense. I just wrote down some stats today, and I'll rifle through them, right? William Contreras is 2 of his last 21. He's .095 batting average in the last week. He's 173 in the last 30 days. They've moved him to 6th in the lineup. Christian Yelich, he's getting older. You can't expect him to be an MVP. He is batting .152 in August. That is well below the Mendoza line. Garrett Mitchell, who was, I think at the All-Star break, we all looked at him and we said, it's either him or Jake Bauer is the biggest surprise and the nicest surprise of the season. He is 7 of his last 46, Garrett Mitchell is, in everyday starters. So those are 3 everyday starters who are not batting remotely good, remotely well.
Man, if only there was a time, a period where a lot of teams with good hitters that aren't very good were looking to get rid of them. I wish they had something like that in the MLB. The Brewers could have added somebody.
So
would have been nice.
All in all, the point we have reached with the Milwaukee Brewers is everything's a little bit problematic. Now, they are still a good team, and they are still going to win games, and they will still be, I don't want to say a force to be reckoned with in the postseason, but they are a team you can expect to win a playoff series, given that they still have the best record in baseball, though the Rays are very quickly catching up to them. I think only a half game back now as we stand here middle of the day on Wednesday. So I'm struggling to realize what the ceiling is for the Brewers. Because right now, seeing what we've seen since the All-Star break, it feels like the ceiling might just be a playoff appearance. The ceiling, at most, is a series win. But to improve on what we saw last year, which was getting swept by the Dodgers in the NLCS, doing any better than getting swept in the NLCS, that's starting to seem pretty far-fetched for me, and I don't think that's an overreaction given how this team has played since the All-Star break.
I don't want to center this on you specifically, because you're one of what I feel like is a growing population of the fan base. It seems like you're going through what I went through last season and what a lot of people went through in advance of the trade deadline. We've seen this team before. We think they're good. We believe in Pat Murphy. But it doesn't really feel like it's going to ever amount to much.
Correct.
Because they don't have the chips that would be required to do what it takes to reach the mountaintop. And can I make a confession? I think it's probably one of a couple confessions I make today on this program.
Yeah, go ahead.
I've emotionally disinvested in the Milwaukee Brewers.
Oh, come on.
I will root for them. I will cheer for them every playoff game. But I have lost the, I think they can do it. I'm going to get myself worked up into a lather. I'm really excited about facing the Dodgers and vanquishing or reaching the heights and beating them once again. I have emotionally removed myself from them, and I've been anti that on the show. I've been all about buy in, have fun, enjoy your team. But I don't know if it's just the part of the year we're in. We're balancing training camp and getting excited for football. And maybe that changes when the playoffs happen and they are closer and upon us, but it just feels like we could sort of see the writing on the wall because we've seen the writing on the wall since 2018, and the Milwaukee Brewers treat controllable years, and some of the fans do, as good as winning World Series.
I think there's one way that they can win the World Series this year, and it's if they play the Dodgers in the wild card.
No, they need somebody.
If you get the Dodgers in a 3-game series and can somehow
maybe
the last thing you want to do is play them in 5 games.
But you're not getting them in the wild card.
Well, right now the Dodgers would be in the wild card.
Well, the Brewers wouldn't be, though, and I don't think we're going to get to a place.
They keep still, playing the way they are.
Yeah, sure, but
they'll both
still,
be in the wild card.
We all know they're still, despite the disappointment in how they're playing, we know they don't play like the super sexy style of baseball. There's no long balls. They're last in the MLB in home runs, despite having the MLB's best record, right? They find ways to score enough runs to win games. If Miz is on the mound, you're going to win. The Logan Henderson streak came to an end the other night. But when he's on the mound, typically you put yourself in a position to win, even if it's like 3-2, right? And they're very good at one-run games. The Brewers, I would imagine, have one of the best records in the MLB when it
comes
to one-run games.
The problem is you can't play... The Dodgers, you can't really play in one-run games because they just sock dingers. And
guess who they just got back last night, too? Blake Snell. 6 innings, yeah, 3 hits,
Tyler
one earned run.
On his
guess
way
who's back?
They're unbeatable. They're unbeatable, right?
They are beatable, though.
But in terms of the Brewers, though, I don't think
The Brewers in a five-game series, they are unbeatable.
Yeah.
Yes, five
that
or seven-game
series.
That
style of baseball does not...
Yes. So the only way the Brewers are getting into the World Series is if they don't see the Dodgers in the NFCS, right? That would mean the Braves take care
somebody
of them.
Somebody
else takes care of them. The Cubs take care of them in the wild card. What do you mean the Red Sox?
Oh, in the World Series? Are you talking about the...
No, I'm talking about the Dodgers. The Dodgers.
The Padres are my sleeper team. I'm going to call that.
I mean, they've looked really good the last
two
nights.
Beat the Dodgers in the playoffs.
I hope you're right. But then again, do I want the Brewers to see the Dodgers in the postseason after what we've witnessed the last few days?
You mean the Padres?
That's what I meant, yes.
Yeah. Probably not.
Nope, not really. Not really. I don't want to play at Petco Park anymore. That's where I'm at after the last two nights. So, yeah, look, I'm anti-Josh in terms of I still think you can have fun and be invested because I am, right? Like, clearly I am sitting here and telling you I am panicking and I am worried, but I'm still going to watch every game the rest of the season because they do play a fun brand of baseball and they are a good baseball team and they can win maybe a playoff series. I just don't have World Series expectations anymore. And that's just where I'm at with them. And that's okay.
You've basically put a positive spin on exactly what I said.
Well, you should still be invested. they're your baseball team. You should still be you. Like, I don't want to compare it to being like
I also
a Cleveland
think this
Browns
is, this
fan.
Is a this is a harsh reaction to them losing two games in a row.
It is extremely harsh.
But this isn't a two-game thing, guys.
Like, the Dodgers just lost eight games in a row,
but
whatever it was, six
games.
Yeah,
but they're the Dodgers. They're built for October,
not
August.
Yeah, they're the Brewers.
Brewers are built more for August than they are October.
Yeah.
Right, so
they're going to turn it around.
But I'm reading you so many things that lead to problematic reactions, right? Like, Garrett Mitchell can't go 7 for his last 46. William Contreras can't hit a ball if it's the size of a basketball right now. That's where we're at. And these are the guys you rely on to carry you throughout the season. Christian Yelich, William Contreras, and Garrett Mitchell
you know what that
have done
doesn't
nothing
say
in the
that?
Last month.
Doesn't talk about team control.
They're going to be really good in 2030.
Team control and prospects, baby.
They're going to be really good in 2030.
You got any more space on your sheet for that one?
Luis Peña. Blake Burke is in AAA now. He hit 30 home runs in AA. Watch out.
I've been hearing about the future for the Brewers for as long as...
10 years?
Yeah.
Also, people saying there weren't bats available. There were so many bats available that you could have given up practically nothing for.
Yep.
Yeah.
Kelio Ramos, Luis Garcia Jr.
We are betting.
Instead, Luis we Arias. Gave up one of the fastest rising hitters in baseball for Dustin May, the Ginge.
I don't care. I don't care about what they did. I care more about what they didn't do. And what they didn't do was say, we're good enough right now.
Well, what
and
they did still- was the lack of what they've done. It's just
yes, but I
powerful.
I'm sick of. Hey, they're going to be great in 2032. They're going to be great in 2031 because all these guys. And again, it's kind of what they're doing this
can
year.
Can I let you in
but
on a secret?
Hold on. It's kind of what they're doing this year. They are betting on everybody peaking together at the right time. Right? They're still betting.
They've been doing it since 2018, brother.
They're betting on Contreras and Churio and Mitchell and Terang. All of their bats getting really hot at the right time. But that's exactly what they're doing in the future. They are betting on Luis Peña and Jesus Mate and Andrew Fisher and Jackson Churio to all be great offensively in 2030. And there is just no guarantee of that. The guarantee you have right now is you have the best record in baseball. You have the best path to a World Series. And they didn't capitalize last week, and that's still troublesome, especially because they played like Dookie the last week and a half.
We're having the exact conversation that I had the past two seasons following the trade deadline. This is the it's the exact same thing.
I won't disagree with that.
It just took you way less time to figure it out this year because it happened a week after the deadline.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they were still winning because they went on a long ass streak.
They did the George Webb streak.
Yeah.
Jen loves to say, follow the bouncing ball. You are the bouncing ball guy.
And your head is
just following
it. I don't
know what that means.
If momentum keeps going, you have a really easy time ignoring the obvious.
If they go win 12 in a row, I'm going to feel similarly. They're not built to win a World Series.
Right, but it took you until this point.
No, I've been saying that for a while.
To slow down on the, like, all in, they can do it.
I've been saying for weeks, I don't think they're close enough. I said at the All-Star break, they're a couple pieces away
at
best.
So what changed from last year to this year? Naivete? You had it.
Well,
had
I think they're a better team this year, but now everybody's slumping at the wrong time.
Well, and now people are hurt.
Right. Injuries galore. Bryce Durang played shortstop last night for the first time since his rookie year.
Sprained his thumb. He's got an owie.
Durang does now?
Yeah.
Goodness gracious. I missed that.
Yeah.
Everybody's hurt.
We need to start.
Will, you're going to be playing infield.
We need to
soon.
Start ending games as soon as position players come in. Like, there needs to be a rule where the game can just end because that clip of William Contreras getting hit by the bat.
Oh, not
with
good.
Gary Sanchez pitching.
Not good.
Like, imagine if that was
are
a serious
eating?
Injury.
Yeah, what are you eating?
I had a cough drop. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
I wanted to get my
throat
point
or
across. Yeah, a little bit.
Sorry to hear that.
Grinder, fighting through it.
Yeah, attaboy.
Josh tried to take me out of the game, and I said, no, coach, I'm here.
I love that. Boss Josh.
I did tell him if he's sick, go home.
Are you sick?
No.
All right, then you could stay. All right, let's move to this. So, let's talk. I mean, Packers play a game tomorrow, by the way. Are you fired up about preseason? Do you get into preseason?
I'm interested in the Packers. Sure. I'll follow the fantasy guys that I'm interested in and see what they do if they have performances or, you know. Because
that's got to be mainly rookies, right?
Rookies and young players. Because a lot of what you can learn is who gets held out. Like starters and, hey, we're not risking this guy. In terms of, like, football, I'm locked into the X's and O's. No. It's more just... Hey, football's on. That's cool. I'm excited. I'm ready for it. And then what can I take from it to turn into content on our shows?
Yeah, fair enough. Will, do you lock in for the Bears game? I don't know if they play tomorrow, Friday, or Saturday, but are you locked in for it or not really?
I will say that the fact that I don't know when they play, I'm
okay,
not locked
there's,
in.
There's
I did
answer.
Not watch a second of the Hall of Fame game, even though I knew it was an instant classic.
Banger of a game. I am curious, MIA, curious in your interest level in the preseason, because I do get into it, and I'll take notes tomorrow. I'll probably read my notes to Jen and Joshy on Friday morning, Jen and Chewy.
The evidence would tell us that, yes, the audience is very bought in, because the Hall of Fame game, like, outdid the NBA Finals.
Did it really do that well? I didn't see this.
Well, that's because Mike Tomlin was there. People wanted to see Mike Tomlin's debut as a broadcaster.
Yeah, that's it. That's got to be it. Uh-huh. So we're going to talk preseason and the game tomorrow in just a moment. But I do want to go to this because I'm always fascinated by the dynamics of the NFC North. The NFC North is viewed as the best division in football yet again this year, right? All four teams finished over 500 a year ago. The Vikings... Obviously, they named their starter yesterday in Kyler Murray. They make a quarterback move. It's a position they've lacked for the last several years, despite the blip in the radar that Sam Darnold was a few years ago. But they were still 9-8 last year. The Lions had a down year. They were still over 500. They were beat up. They're still viewed as the favorite in the NFC North. Packers and Bears are both playoff teams, ultimately. And we know the Bears beat the Packers and eliminated them from the playoffs after winning the NFC North under first-year head coach Ben Johnson. And so Ben Johnson still has this level of shiny new toy. Because of the first-year success, you think of what the Bears were able to accomplish. They had a million come-from-behind wins in the fourth quarter. Caleb Williams is on the cover of Madden. The Bears are this sexy, up-and-coming team nationally that everybody's looking at and going, they could be great, right? This is maybe the next great head coach in Ben Johnson. And Ben Johnson says yesterday to The Athletic, quote, I want more than the Super Bowl. I want to have the highest scoring offense ever, which happens to be the 2013 Denver Broncos. I know how many points per game they scored, and I want to surpass them. I want shutouts. I want blowouts, end quote. That from Ben Johnson, an offensive mind who gets away with this, right? Like, that is viewed as awesome by not only the Bears fan base, but I think a lot of people because, again, he's got this shiny new toy appeal. He's a year two head coach. Coming off of a playoff game against the arch rival who has traditionally destroyed the Bears in their series throughout the last two plus decades. And everybody views this as this guy's a badass. This guy doesn't care. He wants to win more than anything. And that's fine, right? Like, I appreciate the approach of winning from Ben Johnson. I think when you look at this compared to the Packers head coach, this is the difference between year two and year eight. Matt LaFleur entering his eighth season at the helm of Green Bay, Ben Johnson only entering his second year. LaFleur, it's more put up or shut up at this point, right? We are at a point with Matt LaFleur where it is, we think you're an offensive genius. We've seen some really good things. You've had 13-3 teams. You've had the highest scoring team in the league. You've been snubbed for Coach of the Year a few times. You've had MVP quarterbacks under your direction in Aaron Rodgers, back-to-back years. It is now, we have reached a point in year 8 of Matt LaFleur of put up or shut up. Are you going to go win the NFC? Are you going to win the NFC North? Are you going to get to the Super Bowl? Are you going to take that next step offensively? If Matt LaFleur said this, he'd be getting killed. I don't care about this. I don't care about that. I want to be the best offense. Right? If he said this, he'd be getting killed. Ben Johnson says this and everybody goes, wow, that's awesome. Including somebody on this panel that is not a Bears fan. Josh DiMaggio on Twitter. Trust tree moment here. I wish Matt LaFleur was a little bit more like Ben Johnson in some aspects. Thank you for allowing me that trust. Josh DiMaggio.
Sounds like he just violated his trust.
We've heard
it. Said it all out.
He put it in the public eye. Matt LaFleur has done some stuff like this, right? After a 13-3 season, we found out the motto in the locker room was all gas, no bleeping breaks. And then the following season, not so sexy. It was not.
There's nothing but breaks.
And that's continued to be the case seemingly. Yes. Over the course of the Jordan Love tenure. He's done the, you know, scared money, don't make money thing.
Scared money, don't make money.
He's done the, you know, he's done all these little catchphrases, but he doesn't get away with it. If Ben Johnson severely underdelivers, people are going to look back at this quote and be like, this guy's a clown. He's corny.
No, the difference between Matt LaFleur and Ben Johnson is Ben Johnson coaches in a way that ethos can be borne out. Now,
you could have been able to say the same thing about Matt LaFleur after year one.
You didn't even let me finish my sentence before you told me I was wrong. It's crazy. It's preposterous.
You just got to the comma and you were cutting him off.
I did the grave injustice of taking a breath before you jumped down my throat. You clearly, I know which way you're going to go with this. You laid it out clear here. Ben Johnson's known for explosive, aggressive offense that is trying to score as many points as humanly possible. Matt LaFleur's whole thing is, why doesn't your team run more plays? Why don't you air it out more? Why don't you trust Jordan Love? Do you think Ben Johnson in year two of Caleb Williams is going to be like, we need to give DeAndre Swift and Kyle Manungai more carries here, or we're going to trust the first overall pick to score some damn points, and if our defense isn't working, guess what? You're going to have to keep up with us. And that's not Matt LaFleur's approach to the game. That's not the way he views the game. That's not the way he's ever coached.
I wouldn't say ever. I would say in the Jordan Love era.
He kicked a field. He was down 2 scores, and then he kicked a field goal to stay down 2 scores. He is a potato. He coaches like a potato. He has nothing that Ben Johnson exudes every time he gets in front of a mic and starts calling offensive plays. He doesn't have it. He's never had it. Could he gain it? It's totally fair. Has Ben Johnson kicked a field goal down 2 scores and stayed down 2 scores? Yes or no?
I would guess
yes
no.
Yes or no?
I would guess no.
It's a no.
I would guess no.
Because no one coaches like that besides Matt LaFleur and probably John Harbaugh because he thinks it's still 1987 when he's out there. No one does it like he
Didn't
does.
Have John Harbaugh catching straight on the bingo card today.
That guy, let me tell you. Win some more preseason games. Good for you, brother. Ben Johnson's approach to the game is totally different. He's getting in front of mics and talking about, I want my quarterback to be one of the leaders in EPA because passing in EPA is the highest indicator of wins. You think Matt LaFleur would ever fix his mouth to say that? He'd be like, we need to get Josh Jacobs some touches. And yes, it was 3rd and 2. And yes, we'd run that 3 times this game already. But guess what? That's our play and that's what we do.
Scared money don't make money.
He is scared money. You know when people get really mad at people for doing things they do? That's he's like, he has these catchphrases.
It's called being a hypocrite.
Because he wants to be that guy, but he can't. And he never has been. That's why he needs little sayings. Ben Johnson just goes, I want to score 1,000,000 points. I don't care who has the record. I want to do better than them.
Well, he does care who has the record.
He knows it well. But he's not saying, well, we can't reach that. Or let's set our sights a little bit lower. No. Let's score 40 points a game.
He cares because he knows that's how many he wants to score every game.
Yeah, I we'll see how good the Bears are. I don't know.
I don't think they're going to be that good. But I'll tell you what, they're going to try and score a lot of points. I can promise you that. You're not going to be like, hey, there is a chance here. We can either try and bleed the clock or we can score more points to gain our lead. What's Ben Johnson going to do?
The latter, yeah.
Yeah. What's Matt LaFleur going to do? And what has Matt LaFleur historically done?
Going to do is different than historically done, I think. I really do. I mean, you know where I stand on Matt LaFleur for this
upcoming
season.
Does a tiger change its stripes? Does a leopard change its spots?
No, it doesn't.
Thank you, Will.
I wasn't going to answer that one.
I caught you.
Why? Did you not
caught
know
you
the
in
answer?
A trap.
Well, you didn't catch me in a trap. You asked a question caught about you. An animal, which is people evolve, Josh. People evolve. Coaches can evolve.
There's a stat we talked about as it referred to Matt LaFleur. And it was coaches after, what is it, their seventh season, if they don't win a Super Bowl historically, they never will.
Yeah.
What does that tell you about people's behavior and evolution?
Right, but I think when you look at what the Packers
You're not
are
in
doing,
that answering questions mood, are you? You're a pivot guy.
I'm more deflection. You're on the
low block right now.
He's using those computers as a human shield.
I got my left elbow up, and I'm going right. I put up the right block, and I'm going left. Pretty soon, you're gonna be crawling between my legs to get to the hoop.
Great analogy. That was well done. Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, we cite that stat for a reason, right? Because it does show you what the history of the National Football League is.
I believe Bill Cowher was the only one, if I remember correctly.
I believe that is correct. John Madden, I think, was also on that list. But I think he did it maybe with a different team. I don't remember exactly.
Could that have been
was.
Like pre-Super Bowl era?
Yeah, maybe something like that. I don't remember exactly. But when it comes to LaFleur, I mean, we have proof that this guy can whip up a great offense.
Yes.
Right? And unfortunately, I mean, obviously there are a couple examples of that in the Jordan Love era, but I think you have to go back to his first few seasons before it got stale, right? Because 13-3, 13-3, and 19-20 respectively, that was before it was stale. That's when they were the highest scoring offense in the league. That's what they were. They were what Ben Johnson is talking about under Matt LaFleur. And I think we've reached this point, to your point on Josh Jacobs, and I almost think it gets your words get twisted. You are not anti Josh Jacobs.
No,
you are anti, making him the focal point of the offense.
Correct.
Which it seemed like the Packers started to get away from last year. They did, right?
I think
like,
they were forced into it because their offensive line wasn't that good and the run game was rather inefficient.
And he was beat up.
Yes.
Last season
it was a multitude of factors. Emmanuel Wilson playing games, Chris Brooks having to be basically the 1B for stretches of time.
Yes. And I mean, and you think about...
No disrespect to Chris Brooks, of course.
We love him. Chris Brooks program. When you think about the Packers season and their evolution last year, all of their skill position players got beat up. Right? Jaden Reed missed a bunch of time. Christian Watson was out for half the season. Right when Tucker Kraft became the focal point of the offense over Josh Jacobs, and they started to cut Jordan Love loose, he tore his ACL. Right, so I have a ton of faith this season, just given the way they've operated, given the way LaFleur has talked, that Jordan Love will be the focal point of the offense, and the ball is going to get spread amongst Kraft and Reed and Watson and Golden, who's been so hugely involved in training camp, which, again, I don't know how much stock you can put into it at this point, but he has played a ton in terms of their 11-11.
I think you can insofar as he's a first-round pick that's going to be given every opportunity to at least fail.
Now, can I give you another reason I'm optimistic about the Packers' offense? And it might not be one you expect. It's the offensive line.
Uh-oh.
And a lot of the talk, because I think we went into training camp a couple of weeks ago saying, okay, we know who the five is, right? From left to right, it's Morgan, Banks, Ryan, Belton, and ZBB, Zbach. After the name change for Zach.
When
Tom.
Did they get that guy? Did they just...
Good one. Good one.
No. Oh.
I can't tell if you're doing a thing.
Yeah, I'm doing a thing.
Okay, got it.
When in doubt, Will's doing
I was
a thing.
Really close to getting him for a second, though. I think I could have, but...
You could have.
I think you probably could have,
too. One more... No, seriously, he would have bought it.
But left to right, that's who we expected the five to be. And now, Anthony Belton's not even in the picture. He's in the picture as a backup tackle, which I view as a good thing. He's drafted as a tackle. They didn't love who their swing tackle was. They don't love their depth. Anthony Belton is now a depth piece. Competing for the right guard spot is Jagger Burton, the rookie fifth-round pick out of Kentucky, and Jacob Monk, the third-year out of Duke, who pretty much been redshirted each of the last 2 years. I view this as a positive because last year they traded for Darian Kennard, their sixth offensive lineman, days before the season opener. They view two different guys as an upgrade from their right guard who played the second half of the season. The only worrisome thing is that Aaron Banks hasn't taken the field yet. And as Josh Sitton has famously said about playing right guard versus left guard, it's like wiping your butt with the opposite hand. So if they need Jagger Burton to move to left to start the season, depending on Aaron Banks' availability, that is the one concern. But all in all, I view this this rendition of the offensive line as an upgrade over what we saw in the playoff game. Obviously, Zach Tom was hurt. ZBB was hurt. But even if he was healthy, I view this rendition of the offensive line as an upgrade over what we saw at the end of the season last year, which is a good thing. And they are figuring this out before the first preseason game even begins. And I know one of the biggest question marks for the Packers this offseason has been how good can their offensive line be? And I've said many, many times this offseason, the Packers offense will only go as far as the offensive line allows them to. The Packers are in a better spot with their offensive line than they were in the middle of the season last year. That is a big thumbs up for me. That is a big positive for me and a big moment of optimism for me because you look at, they're going to be healthy at the skill positions. Golden, Reed, Watson, Kraft, hopefully, will all be on the field come week one in Minnesota. The offensive line is going to be in a better spot than it was last year. And Matt LaFleur has not minced words. They're going to cut Jordan Love loose this year. They're going to let him cook, I believe, is the exact phrase he used recently.
He was goaded into that by Aaron Nagler.
Well, I can only believe what he says.
That is going to go down just like, and it might be unfair this time. That's going to go down in the all gas, no brakes pantheon. And that.
No.
Somebody
who's. Josh, you're smarter than this.
Somebody's name who might be Bill Summers is going to use that exact clip when he pukes all over his shoes. They don't have, they aren't organized, and they puke a game away and let a lead.
You're
slip
real
the
negative today, the day before the preseason opener.
Josh, would you like to become a Bears fan?
Yeah,
no.
That's what you sound like.
No,
you don't sound like
a Packers fan. Ask. I just figured I'd ask.
But he doesn't sound like a Packers fan today.
I knew he was going to say no, but
I until I'm proven wrong, I have no reason to change what I think Matt LaFleur is going to be. Your offensive line diatribe, well, I find it rather optimistic. It's not great when your incumbent starter pretty much has lost his job and you're battling between a fifth-round rookie and a guy who we didn't even really remember was on the team until he had to start week 17.
Yeah.
That, to me, is not ideal. Is Aaron Banks participating again? I thought I saw him in pads or something.
I don't think he is.
I don't think he's participating.
That's the one piece where
I think
go,
left
okay.
tackle's better. I think center is going to be better because it's a guy who has his role, knows his role.
Right tackle's obviously good.
I'm unconvinced Aaron Bank is ever going to play more than 60% of a season.
But in theory, you've got three guys who can step in. Well, two guys, I guess, because one of them is going to be starting.
I'm optimistic Burton is just actually good and it might help wash it away, but yep. I'm not going to put that much faith in a fifth-round rookie. I don't know if the Jacob Monk thing is Anthony Belton just stinks and he looks good in comparison. I don't know. I haven't seen enough to really make a judgment. And I don't even think training camp is really going to give us a real good idea. I think when Flores' defense starts sending exotic blitzes at you, we might find out what exactly how good whoever starting right guard actually is. The thing that's worrisome about Belton is at right guard, he looked like he was stuck in mud. Putting him at a tackle and making him try to stop some of these edges.
Well, he is a tackle. They drafted him as a tackle.
He played at tackle at NC State?
Yes, correct.
That's different.
Well, yeah.
Than Danielle Hunter or, right. What's the young guy they drafted that they just paid a bunch of money?
Oh, the Vikings?
No, the Texans.
Oh, He's like Will Anderson.
Yes. Those are different worlds. And yeah. I have minimal faith that a guy who looks sluggish with his feet where you're playing in a phone booth.
But he's a death piece, right? Like, he's ideally, I mean, and obviously somebody's going to get hurt.
He'll never play left tackle, I'll tell you that much.
No, I would
doubt it. He can't move that way.
No, I would doubt it. That's probably a Darian Kennard thing, or maybe they do what they did with Darian Kennard last year. Maybe they go out and get somebody before the season begins.
I think there's a chance we could upgrade. I think it's awfully optimistic to say it's going to be definitively better. I mean,
I think it will be definitively better.
The people who do rankings on offensive line have the Packers as a bottom five unit.
I understand that.
And I think they could be wrong about Jordan Morgan, which would greatly, you know, give him a probably a solid
that's the point
five.
I was about to make, yep.
Right. A solid 5-point jump. I think Sean Ryan is, who was the previous center, not Elton Jenkins, is Josh Myers.
Yep.
He's not going to be great. Probably have some bad games, but mostly be a guy you can ignore, which is great. Not necessarily what you want. I think if ZBB or Z-Buck stays healthy, you're confident. It's been a while since he's been able to be healthy for a season. And the Aaron Banks thing is just an absolute adventure.
That is a good word for it. You hope-
he might make a million, like he might make like $2 million per game he's played in Green Bay.
Yeah.
And never was he like great at doing that.
No, and that's I mean, last offseason's free agency signings are going to go down as Goody's worst class in free agency. Seems like this year might already be a win because Benjamin St. Juice is running with the ones in practice. We'll see if that translates. But Sky Moore, they're very optimistic about in terms of kick and punt returners. I mean, he went pretty low risk, high reward in free agency this year, but they have high hopes. Last year with Nate Hobbs and Aaron Banks, it could go down as all-time bad.
Yeah. Nate Hobbs have a job?
Yeah, he's somewhere. Good I don't remember him. Where he is off the top of my head.
We won't miss you, brother.
But I think he might be in San Francisco.
I think you're right.
And then Aaron Banks, formerly in San Francisco, we will see where he ends up. But that's where I'm at. Like, I view this offensive line thing as positive, and I hope to see all those guys play, maybe not all those guys, but a couple of those guys play extensive tomorrow in the Jagger Burton and Jacob Monk right guard competition. I would like to see both those guys tomorrow.
I think we should make sure they play at least a half, and they're on the field for every offensive snap.
Yeah. What do you want to see them do with Jordan Love tomorrow? Because obviously he hurt his thumb in the preseason opener last year.
I would prefer them not to even play it.
Don't think that's going to be the case.
I don't either.
And I'm okay with that.
I
keep it pretty minimal.
I want him to play the position as if I want him taking intentional grounding penalties if people are getting close.
Yep. I'm fine with that.
I want him.
That's what the preseason's for, baby.
Primarily in shotgun. I want him at very low risk of getting rolled on, getting hit. And I think that stands for Christian Watson, don't need to see you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Matthew Golden, you could be out there.
Yeah, let's see a little Golden action.
Tucker Kraft, he's not going to be able to. But Xavier McKinney, no interest.
Yep.
Other Evan than Williams. That.
Don't need to see Evan Williams.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Javon Bullard, well, he's got the foot thing.
I wouldn't be shocked, though, if they play all those guys tomorrow. And that's it, right? That's all they do for the preseason. But obviously, we can think back to a preseason game in Pittsburgh just over a decade ago where the Packers' top receiver went down. So hopefully that does not repeat itself tomorrow.
It was September. That was August of 2015.
11 years ago. Jordy Nelson, of course, who I'm referring to, who tore his ACL in a preseason game at Pittsburgh.
Chewy remembered that from memory, which blew my mind today.
Impressive by him.
Guy can't remember.
He doesn't remember anything.
No, never. We've built a whole segment around his inability to do that.
It was a traumatic moment, though. I remember where I was watching that game. All right, one more thing on the Packers. Again, I'm trying to be optimistic. You're really bringing me down today, though.
What else is new?
See, I was going to say, somebody has to balance out what you're saying here. I think people would lose trust in us.
No, it's August 11th, 12th. Uh-huh. I mean, come on.
Do you think Josh wants to say these things?
Yeah.
No.
The season is
away. He's doing it for the credibility of the show.
Let's be negative after
I'd
week one.
I'd love to be the rah-rah green and gold glasses guy.
Remember, like, when the season comes in a month, we're going to do stock up, stock down after every game, right? Like, we're going to talk about it. We're going to give you the opportunity to be negative every day.
Yeah. And
stock down Matt LaFleur.
Stock down Alex Stroh.
Oh, come on.
Credibility.
Stock up to Matt LaFleur as a new rule in the NFL implemented. It's about the challenge flag. The head coach, it does not necessarily need to be the one to throw the challenge flag anymore. You can designate somebody else for that. Now, I said this, I forget what else I said this about, but something else where it was like Matt LaFleur, oh, play calling last year, right? Like Matt LaFleur needs to be the guy. And he got the extension because they believe he is the guy. So when it comes to challenge flags, despite his iffy track record, he still needs to be that guy. You can consult with other people about it. Matt LaFleur asked by our buddy Jason Wilde if he will be giving up his challenge flag duties and kind of gave a non-committal answer. Take a listen.
I probably should give it up based on past actions. So,
who was that?
No, I'll probably hold Humor the challenge flag. If not, it's going to be Joe McKillop.
And that's,
who the hell is Joe?
Joe is an offensive. I don't remember his exact title. I think it's like offensive consultant.
Joe Schmo?
It's never
good. He's been on the team. He's been on the roster.
It's never good when Matt LaFleur is using names I don't know.
He's not a position coach. He works with LaFleur.
Offensive quality.
I don't think he's quality control. Childhood. I think it's higher than that.
Yeah, one of his buddies that he refused to fire.
Does he know this? Like, having,
what's going on? Today?
Letting someone else challenge is going to be like a huge advantage.
Okay, hold on. Can we just let's go to the MIA for a moment?
And if our history tells us anything, the Packers, there will be a trend, and the Packers will be the last one to learn about it.
Okay, let's go to the MIA.
Yep.
Like, I bet Big Dom's going to be standing on the other sideline.
Josh,
with the challenge.
Josh and P. Vegas. This show is kind of a bummer today. Dr. Denver Dan, this show's been a real pick me up today. This is your fault. You're bringing the MIA down on our weekly visitation.
If they want me to lie to them, and it seems like people increasingly do, they're not going to get it here.
I don't think you're lying. I think you are you just need to say, hey, season's a month away. We got time to work out the kinks. And hey, by the way,
I'm not nearly.
We didn't even talk about the kicker today.
Here's the thing. I'm not nearly as negative on other programs. There's something about you and the way you approach it with the sunny glasses of optimism and hope and sunshine and rainbows and unicorns that drives me to be like, well, somebody's got to say something here.
Yeah, well, you like bullying me.
We should reach out to the Green Bay Packers.
Why?
Do you want a propaganda podcast? Because I've got the guy for you. It's not going to make sense. The evidence will suggest otherwise, but guess what? He'll tell you what you want to hear, Matt. Maybe you just do it for Matt.
He will look at every damning stat that tells you that the Green Bay Packers aren't good and will just disregard it.
Oh, I'm good. I can put a spin zone on most things. Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't. You just say you don't believe it.
Yeah.
That's not true.
That is.
You just disregard it.
That is.
You don't address it. You don't give me. You don't. You never give a reason
give
for why the stat.
Give me an example.
Josh, what's one a stat?
you guys
give
don't
a
have
stat.
One. Come on.
We do it all the time, though, and you just don't
you
don't address it. You just go,
Give me an example. You don't have an example.
We've done bits on this show of like.
Well, the 7-year head coach one.
Yeah. Here's why I don't believe that. Well, okay.
Well, history isn't always right.
Oh, my gosh.
Come on. There's only been 60 Super Bowls.
Yeah.
And you need at least 7 years, right? Like,
as we
on.
Know, historical evidence, not that important. Right?
I mean, Andy Reid didn't win his first Super Bowl for how long? He just went to a different team to do it. So he doesn't count for that stuff.
Narrator. Andy Reid won a Super Bowl with a different team.
Right. But Andy Reid is now viewed as the best head coach in football.
Do you think maybe being forced out of a job and having to find a new one might have something to do with his change of approach?
No, because Mike McCarthy's on his third job and he has a change of approach.
Do you think if you asked Andy that question, he would say no?
Yes.
No, he wouldn't. He's talked about it. He's talked about what a difference it made in his career.
What's his voice he's doing? It's very annoying.
Address his stat.
And to me. I did.
Yeah, he didn't do a good job.
Yeah.
I think Matt LaFleur can win a
history isn't always right. That's all. That was my takeaway.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's That's what I said.
History isn't right unless I want it to be.
Levi and Stephen's point. This show doesn't have the vibe today like it used to. Come on, Josh.
I think people are being a tad dramatic. If anything, I'm the same guy I've always been.
No, you're a little bit more anti.
Well, you just tried to sell us on the 28th best offensive line being a strong spot.
What is that ranking?
You also tried to spin.
If I gave you a power ranking of whatever I wanted to, you can't just go ahead and say that's a cold hard fact. Like the Packers having a bottom five, that's an opinion.
Why don't you ask some people you trust then?
Is there question marks about their offensive line? Yes. Uh-huh. Are you aware? Here's a stat for you. Are you aware which team led the league in offensive line continuity in 2025? Meaning their preferred five played the most snaps together. Are you aware which team led the league? This is a good stat. I can't believe I'm pulling this out right now. What team led the league in offensive line continuity in 2025?
Seahawks. Probably wrong. A team that had a lot of success.
Also wrong.
Okay.
It was the New York Jets.
And by continuity, do you mean playing snaps
together? The preferred five that played their most snaps together. It was the New York Jets that led the league in offensive line continuity snaps.
So if continuity doesn't matter, they should continue to rotate at right guard.
Not the case I'm making.
Oh.
I am just saying that their preferred five last year not being their preferred five this year is an okay thing.
We realize we're making a comparison Jets to Super Bowl winning aspirations.
The Seahawks weren't even in the top 10.
Okay. What does that tell you?
And their offensive line was great.
Do you think maybe John Snyder's pretty good at it? Do you think maybe Clint Kubiak ran a good offense?
All of the above. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
All of the above.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Agree to disagree. I wonder if we went to, and I'll be there on Saturday, Pottawatomie Sportsbook with Tony Cartagena. We're filling in on the Saturday scramble on ESPN Madison Saturday, 10 to noon, over at Pottawatomie Sportsbook. But I wonder if Joshy and I each had $100 and we went and did like a bunch of Green Bay related props for the season, how different our slips would look.
You wouldn't take
We should
an
do
under.
That and see who walks away with more money.
We should do that.
You That's wouldn't take an under.
No, I probably would. Jacobs related unders, probably. But over at Pottawatomie Sportsbook,
I have a feeling those lines might not be as nice as you'd like, he's facing suspension. Uncertainty.
A ton of NFL props available, though, with about a month left until the regular season begins. You can bet on all the division winners. You can bet on the conference winners. You can bet on MVP odds, defensive player of the year odds, rookie odds, head coach
of the year
odds.
They got the player-specific ones yet?
Oh,
those
yeah.
are fun.
I don't know about team-specific, but they have all of the most receiving yards in the NFL. Like that, there are some fun ones on here. The team with the most wins, you know, stuff like that. And then all the individual markets. Green Bay is at 9.5. 9.5 for the season over at Pottawatomie. So you have all of those, which I always love throwing a couple season-long ones together because it's just fun to look back in January and go, how smart was I in August and September? But all that action, easy-to-use kiosks right at the entrance on the Skywalk. There's 15-minute parking. You just pop some cash in. You can do it right there on the easy-to-use kiosks. Or you can go hang out at the Sportsbook. Plenty of kiosks available over there. The comfy seats, the huge video wall. Pottawatomie Sportsbook is the best place in the state of Wisconsin, bar none, to watch a game as football season quickly approaches. And Pottawatomie, it's the adult playground, man. They've got the biggest hotel rooms, over 500 rooms, in Milwaukee. That's where I'm doing my wedding block for my wedding next year. You've got, obviously, my favorite, the roulette machine, where you can bet on two boards at once, the blackjack machines, the tables, the slot machines, always something fun, and all the great eats and restaurants at Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino. They are the best in the business. Check them out, Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino and the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Bet above the rest at Pottawatomie.
What do you like more, Jordan Love over 3,500 and a half passing yards or over 24 and a half touchdowns?
Ooh. I think I like the yards better.
I think I'm on the touchdowns just because I think Josh Jacobs will be used in a lesser fashion.
Yeah.
But I like them both. I'd be pretty disappointed if Jordan Love had under 3,500
passing
yards. I would
too. That's why I think I like that one better.
Yeah.
24 and a half seems like a pretty good number. I would think, you know, he's probably in the what? Like, he could get to 30, but I would think he's probably, I think he had 24 last year. I think he was 24 and 6.
I think that's right at his number. 23, 25, 32. That is the past 3 years of his career.
So you could get back up to 32.
Oh, easy peasy.
Especially with the weapons around him, it's the best he's had in his career. All right, it's time for one word. Let's get to One Word Weekly. Will's got topics we have missed. Hit me, Will. What do you got?
Hit me with your best
We will respond with one word sometimes more, sometimes less.
On an off day.
Joshy's in La La Land today, man. He started singing.
You just cut me off two words into my... Who's really in La La Land?
He's singing Hit Me With Your Best Shot. Is that Joan Jett? Is that who that's by?
I think he was asking me to go.
Yeah.
Which I appreciate.
All right, go.
Oh.
On an off day.
Sensitive.
For the
Christian
Los Angeles.
Watson, all right, over I'm five done. And a half touchdowns. Please.
I think he quit.
I quit.
All right. Let's try again.
San Francisco.
Start down for one
start
word
fresh.
What?
I want an apology.
Sorry.
I hate repeating. Like, one of my biggest pet peeves in my life is repeating myself.
Oh, it's too bad you speak at a microphone.
Yeah, I got bad news for you about it. That's not going to be the last
time. When people are not listening.
It's time for One Word Weekly. Will's got a list of topics. We will respond with one word, sometimes less, sometimes more, as we do a little week in review. Will, the floor is yours.
On an off day for the Los Angeles Angels, Mike Trout decided to take the team out for some team bonding, you know, on his private golf course.
Sure.
In New Jersey. But when they got to the course throughout the round, four different players got traded. Every 4 to 5 holes, he said, a different guy that was golfing with them got traded.
Angels is the word, man. They are actually, timing might be the word. This is a bad idea by Mike Trout. You play for one of the worst teams in the league who you know is going to be a seller at the deadline. Why couldn't you do this on Tuesday? Next off day?
I initially, when he thought it, I thought he was like forcing trades as like a team bonding. So your best player for our worst player, we make a trade. But then physically being traded is...
No, like people were leaving the course right? Like during the... And they were probably pretty happy.
Were they finishing the rounds or just being like...
I believe Brent Suter, former Brewer, got traded. He was the first one to go while they were on the putting green. And he asked if he could finish the round and did.
Love that for Brent.
Huh, that's got to be awkward.
Did you see the one about the Orioles, too?
No.
They were going to see Spider-Man.
We've got to be better.
Four Orioles players, and as they were walking into the theater, Adley Rutschman got traded.
I get that a lot of teams have that Monday off.
They were really close.
Well, I think
you also don't get a lot of days off.
Yeah, no, I know.
And I think they do it also
to get their mind off
to remove the stress of...
Sure, but also...
But right, you're basically watching people's funerals... As part of it, where maybe you could avoid it.
Yeah, awkward. Yeah. What's your word?
Oops.
What's next?
I think there should be a no movie, no golf clause. You can't tell them they got traded till after.
Don't hate that, actually.
It's officially back to school season, and with classes about to start, the LSU basketball team officially has four players on their basketball team right now, and they start classes in a week.
They only have four players in the roster?
Four players, five coaches, and 11 staff members.
Eligibility going to be my word here? And the staff members play? What are you going to do? Are they going to have a team this year?
Will Wade's the coach, too.
Yeah, Shaq's going to have to give Will Wade some money. Eligibility, my word.
As transfer portal? I mean, how does this even happen? I don't even understand.
I don't either.
It's not even like... You know, baseball where you can just get guys after the first semester.
So that means they just struck out on every guy they attacked in the portal.
Yeah. I just put Dr. Denford Dan on a timeout, 24 hours.
Okay.
What'd he
see
do?
You tomorrow.
What'd he do?
He's giving us suggestions on how to run our program. See you in 24, big guy. Hang tough.
Speaking of going.
And I'm the one in La La Land.
Now, that was a good detail. I appreciated that. Speaking of going back to school, there's a new thing going around now I've been seeing where freshmen going to college for the first time are hiring interior decorators.
Shut up.
To design their freshman dorm room.
I could do an entire program on this very topic.
Yeah, can I do two words here, please?
Granted.
Daddy's money.
So my word's going to be creepy. The video that's gone around from this is a girl being shown her room that was designed by a woman whose entire job is to specifically design dorm rooms.
I didn't know that was a career.
Either did I, but it makes sense. It's the South, old money, We don't want to find out why mom and dad have so much money and it's gone through generations. That gets pretty dark when we start talking about that. But the room, the way it was designed, looks like a room for like a 10-year-old. And it's, you're dropping your daughter off to like, this is like a monumental moment in most kids' lives. They're off on their own for the first time. And it looks like you put a baby in there. It's a baby room.
It's insane.
Also,
just thinking back to the way, like,
also these colleges,
our algorithms must be very
different. Also, these colleges, I've been in many a dorm room.
Yeah, sure.
It's like bare bones. You barely got room. They're like palatial estates. Yeah.
There's
huge.
Also the video that you're talking about. It was like a single room, too.
Yes. Yes, which is also rich.
I lived with three other people
in
a room probably the same size as that.
I moved in with a friend of mine from high school. We departed after 11 days.
But yes, what was your guys' first living space outside of your home like?
It was a prison cell.
Yeah.
It was a room maybe a third of the size of this
one. It was a place I'd never suggest anyone live in.
mine was a dorm room.
It was, mine was an apartment.
With no AC, no elevator.
The conditions, the amenities, all of it. But it helps with the maturation process.
I did have a mini fridge, which was cool.
I actually lived in a nice
stocked with beer. Yeah.
I lived in a nice dorm, but the experience, like, my setup was very simple. I had a desk, I had a bed, and I had a TV. That's all I needed.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much all I had. Xbox and a mini fridge. That's okay. And a microwave. Yeah. What got me through. Yeah. A lot of ramen noodles that year.
If you knew somebody who had a pizza oven,
that was
a life of luxury. You could cook some chicken nuggies in there.
Yeah, no doubt.
Air fryer.
Yeah, air fryers were not a thing.
My favorite story is, when you go to college, you party.
What?
A little underage party.
I never and did. So I waited till I was 21.
So still one of my very good friends to this day. Friend of show, in fact, but I'm not going to call him out. He's commented many times in this program. I haven't heard from him today, so must not be watching. But we got back from a house party, and he decided to make some microwavable mac and cheese. The problem is, I assume you know where this is headed, forgot to put water in the mac and cheese.
Oh, classic fire.
Fire alarm went off the entire building at like 3 o'clock in the morning. It was awesome.
One of the best inventions of those types, like late night foods, has been a brat with pepper jack cheese under it with a slice of bread. You ever had it?
No, it sounds great, though.
No.
It's very good.
I'd eat it.
It's Sandberg, the UWM, the famous Tollers, very big, very full. That happened, it felt like. And I didn't live there. I just knew people there. And I was there where I had to evacuate multiple times because of something, somebody microwaved something that turned into a debacle.
Yeah.
And Easy Mac is usually number one. Indicator of like, we started a little fire in the microwave oven. Somebody forgot water is the most common thing that people forget there. And then you see the charred, burnt, and go, false alarm.
This is my favorite story of the week. A guy faked having a sick grandmother to pretend to hit a hole in one to win money in a member. So I'll break down
the story of what
happened. So basically, this guy, a member, obviously two members of the same golf course club playing in a tournament for money. There's different prizes you can win, like closest to the pin, longest drive. If anyone gets a hole in one, there's a prize pool for that, etc. So this guy, he knows what group or what hole he's starting on with his foursome, right? Mm-hmm. So he knows that there will not be a group ahead of him when he gets to the fourth hole, right?
Smart.
So when he gets to the course that day, he tells the rest of his group, he goes, "Hey guys, my grandmother is sick. She's not doing well. I'm expecting a call at some point today, so I may need to like step off for a couple minutes and walk away." Obviously, the guys go, "That's fine." So, before the round even started, this guy woke up super early, drove his car to the fourth hole, made a divot on the green, and put a ball in the hole, right? So then at the third hole, when they're actually playing, he goes, "Hey guys, I'm getting the call. I'm going to go ahead and hit my ball so that you guys aren't waiting for me, so I'm not holding up the pace of play." So he walks up there. He's waiting by the tee box when the guys get there. They get there. They go, "How'd you hit your shot?" He goes, "I don't know. I thinned it a little bit, but there's a mark on the green, so it might be in." Sure enough, they walk down there. They see the divot mark that he made before the round, and the ball is in the hole. he acted like he just won the hole-in-one pot and all that stuff. But it was later revealed he did all this planning and didn't realize that there were security cameras at the hole.
Terrific. Yeah, that's awesome. My word's awesome.
How is that awesome?
Because he got caught.
I thought you were saying the guy's awesome.
I was just saying,
this is such a genius plan.
He's an idiot.
He forgot about the most important thing.
Exactly. Right. Like, it's a genius plan, but he's an idiot.
To premeditate it to that degree and then either not know or forget about.
Scary.
I'm curious how his guys reacted when he was called out on it.
So they celebrated in the moment,
well, of course,
and then after the round, some people called suspicious to it because, hey, you made a hole in one when no one was looking and it ended up in the cup. That's odd. And they went and pulled the security cam footage, which I don't know. I imagine they have that there because that hole is sort of like a blind and you try and see, did the ball actually go in?
Yep.
And he either did not know or forgot there was a camera.
It's awesome.
That just watched him do it.
I love it all.
You also know he went on radio in St. Louis and like said he's not a cheater. He didn't know what he does. It's like, you premeditated to that degree. That's not your first time cheating.
That is such a loser move.
I love that he went on radio afterwards.
And it's a member. So he's a member.
Oh, he's getting kicked out.
Of that. Yes, he's been removed.
Yeah.
He's no longer a member at the course.
Of course not.
And he's talking about how like he's embarrassed for his family and his family's getting attention.
So, I wonder what his grandma thinks.
I hope she's dead.
Yeah, I hope it was just
Well, no, I don't think she's sick.
Yeah, no, I'm saying I hope she doesn't actually exist and she doesn't have to have the great injustice of her son using her
grandson
illness or not to try and cheat in a member tournament.
I got one more quick one.
Sure.
The NFL quarterback girlfriend thing is an epidemic now.
Oh, yeah. Burrow.
Joe Burrow, Jackson Dart.
What's
I'd like to say rest in peace to their careers.
Why are they all doing the almost same exact photo? What's with that?
Can you guys admit that Justin Herbert?
Honeymoon. They're all in the honeymoon phase.
Yeah, I mean, the Joe Burrow's girlfriend thing's fascinating.
It is fascinating.
Yeah.
We're going to leave it at that.
I think Jackson Dart is the one that started dating his girlfriend most recently. So I'm going to give him the leeway that he might still be in the honeymoon phase. But the other two,
weird. Will. Honeymoon phase can last forever.
Also, why are they sitting on the ground on the practice field
across
from each other? It is so weird.
All of them are doing almost the exact same. It's as if they're posing.
They might be.
Exactly.
They might be.
Oh, my gosh. Now you believe me when I said performative.
Or, well, maybe not by the quarterbacks, but maybe by the girlfriends. Like, oh, Madison Beer's getting this run. I should get this run. Like, I'm incredibly good-looking, too.
You know what you could always do? Say no.
That's true. But
I don't want to take this. I don't want to sit on the ground that I just sweated my butt off for hours.
Spoken like a single guy.
Single guy.
You don't say no in the honeymoon. You don't even say no after the honeymoon phase. You don't say no.
I've tried to say no. Doesn't work.
The best way to say no is yes, honey. Whatever you want.
Just say.
I mean, they look ridiculous.
I attempt a no a day. I'm hitting about 7%.
Same as Sal Frelick.
It's like Garrett Mitchell recently. I don't know why Sal Frelick needed a shot there. How did he do at AAA last night? You guys
one
know?
For four.
Hey, that's 250.
Yeah, he jammed three ground outs to the first baseman.
Above them. Hey, he's been off a while.
None of them bounced outside of like the.
All right, that's it for one word. That's enough from Will today. It's time for What We Missed. It's presented by Door County Distillery, locally produced, handcrafted, award-winning spirits made locally in beautiful Door County. Their cherry vodka is delicious this time of the year, infused with local Door County cherries. We know about Door County and their cherries. I love their bourbon. Got a bottle of it at home right now. Had some while I was watching election coverage late last night. Needed it last night. They've also got their brandies, their rums, their gins, anything you want. It's locally made. It's affordable. It's award-winning. And it is delicious from Door County Distillery. Check out their website, doorcountydistillery.com. Find the retailer nearest you. That is doorcountydistillery.com. All right. I mentioned it earlier, but we kind of skirted right over it. Vikings have a quarterback. It's Kyler Murray as they name their starter for the upcoming season. Obviously, the Packers open the season against the Minnesota Vikings in Minneapolis. This was the lamest, most predictable quarterback competition in recent memory in the National Football League.
Yeah, I mean, of course.
Typically, if you actually have a competition, you don't name it before the first preseason game.
No, they named it because J.J. McCarthy was getting too much of buzz, so they needed to nip it in the bud and not have it be questioned, the decision they make. I still think they let it go on too long. It should have been Kyler. I mean, J.J. McCarthy was statistically one of the worst quarterbacks we've ever seen.
Yeah, it's terrible. Despite winning, I think, what do you got, like 6-3 or something?
Yeah. Well, yeah, a lot of that's Flores and same KOC. As the Packers. And, yeah. I don't know why they let it carry on so long. It's the right thing to do. J.J. McCarthy stinks.
All right, quick yes or no question for the board, and then we'll take off for the week. The board. Do you still have your wait a minute, we got breaking news?
Russell Westbrook has retired.
No! No!
That tell you I just want a signed picture of him at a golf outing?
No.
Can I have it?
I'll sell it to you for $200.
Yeah, it's
certified.
It's rare now.
Yeah.
What jersey is he in?
Rockets.
Oh, I'm not that interested in that. That's my all-time favorite player.
Give the lore while you're bemoaning.
Another L for Strofe today.
Russell Westbrook is my all-time favorite player. Nobody has ever played with the amount of energy that guy has.
Will, if you were to put a boxing match on the performances between myself and Strofe today, what would you score it?
No.
It was like the McGregor fight a couple of weeks ago where it was like 30 seconds long.
Uh-huh. All right, we got to go.
Where McGregor was already injured when he went into the ring. He even convinced everyone even he was fine. And then he's like, my ACL has been torn this whole time.
So you're saying Strofe came in with a limp, but it's just his brain?